Around the word of God. Father, we thank you, Lord, that your word of truth is alive and real and spiritual power to us, Lord. And I pray that each one of us be energized by the Spirit of God and the words coming in build us up, and that we look to you as our source and see that everything we are and have is from you and based upon you. We see that in the name of Jesus. Amen. Tonight we're looking at commended to the word of God's grace, and we know that this is in the scripture, a quote, in part, in Acts chapter 20, and I'm going to read from before where that verse is in Acts chapter 20, so we can come up to that verse with a basis on what Paul was talking about when he talked about being commended to the word of God's grace. In Acts chapter 20, Paul has concluded his missionary journeys, and he comes to Ephesus, and Ephesus is in Asia Minor, which today is in the country of Turkey. And he came there, and there was a church, and you know there's a church there because there's a letter written to the Ephesians, and there's a church there, and it was a leading church in that whole district, in the whole area, and that area is called Asia. And Paul talked to the elders of that church, which means the leaders there, and he laid out to them important things for them to know because Paul was leaving them. So if we look in chapter 20 of Acts, and starting from verse 27, it says, "And from Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church. And when they were come to him, he said unto them, Ye know from the first day that I came into Asia after what manner I have been with you at all seasons." And so Paul introduces that he has been an example of a Christian minister. So he's saying, you leaders of the church, you know how I've behaved. Verse 19, "Serving the Lord with all humility of mind and with many tears and temptations which befell me, by the lying in wait of the Jews, and how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ." So he lays out, this is what I've been doing in my ministry. Verse 22, "And now, behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God." So Paul made a very important statement here. He said it's more important for him to do the gospel, to preach it, to live it out, than to be swayed by persecutions and hardships or what's going to happen in the future. No, he said, I'm going to do the right thing and carry out my course and fulfill, in other words, fulfill his mission that God had, or Jesus had given to him. If we look in Romans chapter 1 verse 16, we find in Romans 1:16, what is this gospel of the grace of God? And in Romans chapter 1 verse 16, it says there, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." So something about the gospel is that it's nothing to do with our own selves, our own power, but that we believe God and that the power is of God to save. So that's something about God's grace. Now, what is his grace? We have to understand God's grace is his favor, and it's something that he's extended to us regardless of whether we deserved it or not. So we didn't earn God's favour, we didn't earn God's graciousness. So that's why people use the word unmerited. We didn't do something to deserve it. So it's unmerited favour, or that's what grace is. And God extends this good will toward us. And at Christmas time we know about goodwill to men. Well, God didn't have to send his son to die for us, but it was as a gift, something we didn't earn or deserve. Christ came anyway, and he went through that cruel agony of the cross. In fact, if you think about it, Jesus didn't just pop on the scene at the time of being baptized at Jordan River with John the Baptist. Jesus lived from being a baby to growing up for 30 years before that happened. So Jesus went through all that, died, rose again, and ascended to the Father. He went through that whole process. He did that all for us so that we could be born again. And he was called then and has been called, and in the plan of God, eternally, the firstborn among many brethren. So God ordained and predestined for us to be believers. He laid that out for us as a gift. We didn't deserve it. We were not in a position to be able to save ourselves, but he's done that for us. And so Paul, if we look back in Acts chapter 20 now, Paul is telling these elders of the church from Ephesus, who were the leaders of the area of Asia, is telling these church leaders about, I've been diligent in preaching this gospel, this message that God's salvation is available for you. Not just salvation for the Jews, which might think, well, historically God cared about the Israelites, he spoke to Moses and he cared for the kingdom when David was the king and so on. And you can see God has helped the Jews in the time of the return from the captivity. They came back from where they'd been in Elam and other places. So they came back all under the care of God. But God cares more than just the Jews. God's care was to get other people, and it talks about the Greeks or the Gentiles generally, anyone who would believe, to have them come into his family and be born again and joined together in Christ, so that we all might have this benefit and blessing that we didn't deserve. We didn't deserve it by birth. We didn't deserve it by the deeds we've done. We didn't deserve it on any grounds whatsoever, yet his grace is to bring us into his family if we but believe in that salvation. Now let's look at verse 25 of Acts chapter 20. And it says, "And now, behold, I know that ye all, among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God, shall see my face no more." So this is maybe a sad thing. Now you can think about when Jesus was telling his disciples he was going to go to his Father, the disciples were sad as well. Oh, Jesus is leaving. No, we'll see that there's something important, that God does not leave people alone. Just because Paul was leaving those Christians does not mean that God was abandoning those Christians in Asia. And likewise, God has not abandoned us at all. Verse 26 says, "Wherefore I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men." Well, that's the forgiveness of God right there. Now, Paul was a persecutor, yet he claims to be pure from the blood of all men. How could that be possible except that God erases away the sin? It's blotted out. Verse 27, "For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God." So in the message of the salvation, the message of the scripture, there's a whole range of doctrines there. And that's called the whole counsel of God. So it's not just, well, Jesus died on the cross, which is very important. There's all other things we should know about as well, about healing and Bible prophecy, about the future and all kinds of areas. Well, Paul shows here that he had not shunned to declare unto them all the counsel of God. So he didn't hold back and say, well, I'm going to tell you this part of it, but not that part. No, he showed them all, and we'll see and should know that the Holy Ghost, who is present on earth today, he shows us all the truth as well. The Holy Ghost isn't keeping us back from knowledge in certain areas. We can know about all the different doctrines and areas, and we should. Verse 28 says, "Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. Look after the church. It's very precious, that blood of Christ. And verse 29 says, "For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. Therefore watch, and remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears." So what is going to be the safeguard against deceivers and against false doctrines and against errors? What's going to be the thing that's going to be able to make the difference? In other words, how is it that we are going to be firm and sure and not be tossed to and fro? It's a very important thing, because otherwise the church would have collapsed historically if there wasn't this thing that he talks about in verse 32. "And now, brethren, I commend you to God," and we understand that would mean the Holy Ghost looking after and being present with us, comforting and watching, working. "And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified." So that's what we're concentrating on now, is this verse, and particularly those words there that he commends them, says, "to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up." So we'll look at some verses concerning this in 2 Timothy chapter 3. So what's the thing that's going to make us strong in faith, and so that we don't get deceived and go off the track, or maybe become weak in the faith? What's going to help us continue on, just like those men there, those elders, that they should continue on in the faith even when Paul was absent from them? What's going to be the important thing is, well, one thing is, if you have the Bible, the Word of God, the Scripture, you're going to have to hold on to it, aren't you? And we'll see that the Word of God itself has power in it to help us be strong and to stick to the right way and not go astray. In 2 Timothy chapter 3 and from verse 16, I'll just read verse 15, it says, "And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine." So you want to know all the counsel of God? Well, you don't need prophet and apostle Paul to lay out to you all the counsel of God. You don't need him physically present with you. We don't need him physically present with us today. And we've got some of his writings, but actually what we need is the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost uses ministries today to teach. And we've got the teachings out of the past and the scripture written down, of course, very importantly, for us to access the full counsel of God, or the doctrines or the teachings of scripture. So what's going to make us strong in knowing the way of God and how to continue in it is, we're going to have the Word of God. So the Word of God is profitable. Profitable means profit is increase, isn't it? Profiting is gaining something. So it's being commended to the Word of God's grace, which is able to build you up. You're profiting in the area of knowledge and understanding the teachings of Scripture. And it says there that it is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction. So reproof would mean to be able to come against a wrong idea and to be able to resist it and show what is the right idea. And for correction means to make sure we're in alignment to the truth and to make sure others can come into alignment to the truth. Well, that's going to be a safeguard and a working for being right and against those deceivers and those wolves that would come in, and those false prophets that would arise and have people go off after them. If we know the Word of God and we are in the right ministry in the Word of God, we'll see that we're going to be going the right way and not being going to and fro or astray. Verse 17, that the man of God may be perfect. Well, that's being built up and not having anything weak or improper in us. So we're coming to that maturity of faith where everything is sound and right, man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So in every aspect, showing the right way, doing the right thing. So being committed to the word of God's grace is all about being built up and strong and going the right way. Also look at another verse in Romans 10 verse 17. Now this is a verse that we should have memorized. Romans chapter 10 and verse 17. So then, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So if you have the word of God, first of all, this is the thing that's able to build you up. It's not just having the word of God there that's going to build someone up. That's like saying, well, we've got a library full of Bibles, but what profit is that? So it's not just the word of God around somewhere that's going to be able to build us up. Now, when Paul was commending them to the word of God, he's talking about them being connected to it and there's a linking together between the people and the word. It's not, oh yes, we esteem the word as something, you know, over there. No, it's connection. The word of God is put in the heart. And we see here, it says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God means unless we have the hearing ear, the word won't profit us in being able to build us up. And you know that's the truth. When Jesus told that parable about sowing the seeds and some fell by the wayside and so on, you know the seed always worked. The seed sprang up. The seed has in itself the nature to work, to do what a seed does. And the word of God has that power in it. But unless we have the good ground heart and let that seed come in us, not resist or be stubborn or hard-hearted, then that word which works won't be working in our lives. And that's why it says here about having the hearing. So hearing is pivotal, and it's repeated twice in the verse. Hearing. So faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. So hearing is a very important key. Let's look in Matthew chapter 7, because Jesus talked about when you hear his words, there's something else you would do, and that is do his word, or carry out his will. So this would build you up. So it's not just, okay, now I've heard the word, but that you actually do the word. So you're not just a hearer, but you're a doer. And Matthew chapter 7, verses 24, talks about this. Now some people talk about this like it's some kind of, you know, nursery rhyme story that they tell Sunday school children, and it, you know, make a little song or something out of it. But it's a vital thing to understand the actual truth of Scripture, that this whole principle that Jesus is talking about is something you actually have to do, which is hear his word and act on it. And Matthew 7 verse 24 says, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine, you've got the hearing, you've got his words, and we've got his words, and here's the heart with the hearing ear, and doeth them, so it's the doing. You can't just hear, we have to act. Doing, so hearing that word and doing it, doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. Well, if there's a similarity between hearing his word and doing it to building your house on the rock, then surely your life would be built up by letting that word come into your heart and you acting on it. Right. It would be like you're building up your life strong, firm, and not being tossed to and fro. So just as being commended to the word of God's grace is the word coming in, so it would be like a man building his house on the rock. And he's not just any man here, he's a man that knows what he's doing. He's a wise man, in the same way you would be wise to take heed to hear the word and do it in your Christian walk. Verse 25 says, and the rain descended. You know that prophecy that Paul gave about the wolves entering in and the false prophets rising up and so on? That's not something that could be changed, as far as those wolves really were around or would come. And there really were people that came out of pride and rose up. So that's something that's a fact of life. there's people around who are false prophets, and Jesus himself prophesied that, you know, men would rise and, you know, people would speak perverse things and they'd draw disciples after themselves and they'd claim, you know, to be prophets or even Christ. They would claim that. That's a fact that happens around. There are false doctrines. So how are we going to come against that? Well, we don't say, let there be no more false doctrines in the world, because the world itself lieth in wickedness, and that's the nature of the world. So you can't change the nature of the world itself. You know, that world that we know is coming to an end. There's no restoration for the world as far as, you know, Satan being saved or something like that. There's no, nothing like that. It comes to an end and sinners are banished away. So there's no salvation or help for sin. It must be cut off. You know, that's the end of it. And this, in the same way, is true for us as Christians, is that God is never going to say, well, there'll be no false prophets in the world and no trial of your faith and nothing to test. Now, he warned us to test the spirits. He warned us and said that we must watch and we must build ourselves up in the Word of God, because there's real dangers around and real things where weakness can be exploited by the enemy. So strength and being built up is going to counteract that, and being built up in the Word of God and knowing it, hearing it and doing it is very vital, very important. So in this case, it says, verse 25, and the rain descended and the floods came. Well, the enemy does come in like a flood. That's even a prophecy in Isaiah 59, that the floods come when the enemy comes in like a flood. So the floods come, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. See, it's a very important thing then to be steadfast in the Word of God. Verse 26, and everyone that heareth not these sayings of mine and doeth them not, everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not, shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand, and the rain descended and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. Now, that's actually a prophecy about false churches and so on as well. But those people who are doing evil, they are not strong enough to be able to counter those who are built up in the Word of God. So the enduring doctrine, the enduring people of God, are those that truly are hearers and doers who are built up and are living out according to God's plan. Let's look in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. We'll just briefly look in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 at a few verses here. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, just point out a few verses in this chapter. Verse 2 says, I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto ye were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able. All right, so babies, they have milk, and then is it growing up and eating meat? Well, you know that in the Christian walk, if we're going to be strong, we can't stay at the milk level forever. We have to get into the meat level, which means getting into the deeper areas of doctrine. So when we're commended to the Word of God's grace, it's something that's able to build us up, because it takes us from the milk level to the strong meat level, which means we grow from being a baby level in knowledge and practice to being a man or adult level in the faith. It's a transforming work that we go through in our living out a Christian walk, walking in the Spirit. Let's look at verse 10. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, start from verse 10, it says, according to the grace of God. Here again we see this thing where God has done something special, given gifts. In this case, which is given unto me. So this is Paul talking. As a wise master builder. So Paul sees himself as one who builds up people's lives. Today we know that master builders literally are people who are able to build houses, are certified to be able to do that, to develop properties with buildings. And in the spiritual sense, a master builder is one who is able to build up lives and sent of God with that purpose. It says, I have laid the foundation. Well, what's the foundation? It's the gospel of God, the word of God. You know, the foundation is laid. And another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. So if we're committed to the word of God's grace, which is able to build us up, we're going to have to be sure that we're doing what the word says and be consistent, diligent, doing the right things in our Christian walk. Verse 11 says, for other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. So if we're doing things like, oh well, I'm doing charitable acts and I'm, you know, doing this teaching or listening to this and that and the other, if it's not from the right basis and properly in line with the Spirit, then it's the wrong kind of actions, and those kind of actions might be actions that are actually actions that will be burnt up. They won't be enduring things. So if we're going to be strong and have the beautiful, glorious fruits and products, we would have to make sure that we're doing the right thing in our being built up. We can't be built up on eating candy and fairy floss. That's not going to be in our physical body the thing that's going to strengthen us living on that kind of diet. And so spiritually, we can't be involved spiritually with the wrong or weak kind of things if we're going to be doing the good work and producing the things of strength. Verse 12, now if any man build upon this foundation, so you can be in Christ and yet not building up the way of strength and glory. Now you can build up gold, silver, precious stones, which is good things, strong, consistent, glorious things. Or it says they're wood, hay, stubble. And they're things that burn up, that aren't enduring. They're things that are weak and flimsy, or that don't abide forever. Verse 14, if any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. So he will receive the reward. So that's talking about spiritually being built up and producing the fruit. Let's go on down to verse 21 now. Verse 21 says, therefore let no man glory in men. So we're committed to the word of God, the word of God's grace, which is able to build us up. Because it's not about what we ourselves are or can do. It's about what's God provided for us. What should we align to? Therefore let no man glory in men, for all things are yours, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death or things present or things to come, all are yours, and ye are Christ's, and Christ is God's. So all the things that we are and can do in being built up to the ultimate level is all connected to connecting to God and not to just mere human based initiatives. And you see, that's very important, that the gospel is about God's grace, not about human works. Let's look in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. We come to the conclusion. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. 2 Thessalonians 3. So this word of God is very important. Verse 1 says, finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of God may have free course and be glorified. So how are you treating the word of God? Lowly or with esteem? Well, if the word of God's been glorified, we consider it important, even as it is with you, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith. All unreasonable and wicked men are around, but the true reasonable people are the ones that have the right kind of faith and are built up in the word of God. So you're going to be thinking right. Verse 3, but the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. So that's strength or built up language. Lord is faithful, who shall establish. Establish, that means is the element of being strong and steadfast, it says there, and keep you from evil. So keeping. You know what a keep is? It's a great stone building, or sometimes made out of wood, but a great building that is strong, a stronghold that is used militarily as a defense. So if God is keeping us, it's not like the enemy can just come and take over our position. No, God is looking after us. He's keeping us. He's preserving us. It's a strong position. It's a position of strength and endurance. Also, let's look in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians 4. Because the last part of that verse in Acts 20 and verse 32 talked about us receiving an inheritance, and there is a sanctification, which means God's power to keep us in the right way, or to keep us in the holy way dedicated to Him. So in other words, we don't grow weaker as we're going in God, but He maintains the strength and even increases it. And 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 says, "Furthermore, then, we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as ye have received of us how ye ought to walk and to please God, so ye would abound more and more." So this is about being built up. We increase in our walk being built up. Verse 2, "For ye know what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus." So if you don't know the Bible, how can you abound and increase and go forward in God? So you have to know the Bible, know the commandments. "For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor." So in other words, when temptations or false prophets or any enemy comes along, whether it's fear, whether it's the unknown future, when anything comes along, what do? Well, because we're built up and strong, we're commended to the word of God's grace, we're not swayed, we're not, "Oh, well, I don't know," or giving in to the wrong things. No, we are enduring, steadfast, build up, abounding in being built in the truth and staying with God in His word. And our belief and faith is strong. Let's close with prayer. Father, we thank you, Lord, that your word to us is true and you help us, Lord. Pray that we would acknowledge that and increase in our thanksgiving and knowledge of your grace, Lord, that we know that you are doing and have done and do so many good things for us. Praise you in the name of Jesus. Amen.